is from Joel 2, verses 1 through 2 and 12 through 17. Blow the horn in Zion. Give a shout on my holy mountain. Let all the people of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and no light, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread out upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes, unlike any that has ever come before them or will come after them in centuries ahead. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with sorrow. Tear your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, very patient, full of faithful love, and ready to forgive. Who knows whether we will have a change of heart? Who knows whether he will have a change of heart and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the horn in Zion, demand a fast, request a special assembly, gather the people, prepare a holy meeting, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the groom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep. Let them say, have mercy, Lord, on your people, and don't make your inheritance a disgrace, an example of failure among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? And the New Testament lesson is 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 6:10. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Since we work together with him, we are also begging you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He says, I listened to you at the right time, and I helped you on the day of salvation. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We don't give anyone any reason to be offended about anything so that our ministry won't be criticized. Instead, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in every way. We did this with our great endurance through problems, disasters, and stressful situations. We went through beatings, imprisonment, and riots. We experienced hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. We displayed purity, knowledge, patience, and generosity. We served with the Holy Spirit, genuine love, telling the truth and God's power. We carried the weapons of righteousness in our right hand and our left hand. We were treated with honor and dishonor and with verbal abuse and good evaluation. We were seen as both fake and real, as unknown and well-known, as dying, and look, we are alive. We were seen as punished but not killed, as going through pain but always happy, as poor but making many rich, and as having nothing but owning everything. And the gospel lesson is Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and 16 through 21. Actually, I should ask you to please stand for the gospel lesson. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, Brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in the secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words I speak be those you want spoken, and may the words we hear be those you want heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, many stories and poems that we associate in our childhood contains great wisdom. And one of those, and one of my favorites when I was growing up, was Humpty Dumpty. And these are the lines. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together again. One book shows the illustration of Humpty Dumpty as a very large and well-dressed egg, complete with a red bow tie, looking quite startled as he begins his fall towards an irreversible ruin. What makes Humpty Dumpty a memorable nursery rhyme is that it tells us something about ourselves. Each of us is a Humpty Dumpty. Each of us is a cracked, broken egg with no power on earth that can repair us. The nursery rhyme denies the persistent human fantasy that if I was just more powerful, I could heal myself. Nations believe this fantasy. They think that if they had enough power, they could make things whole. People believe this fantasy. We believe that with enough power, we can make our lives perfect. But Humpty Dumpty tells us that more power is not the solution to our problem. All the king's horses and all the king's men cannot fix even one poor broken egg. We can continue to struggle against this realization, but in our heart of hearts, we know better. That is why when we see the cartoon that shows a man loudly proclaiming that he can too put Humpty Dumpty back together again, if only we would provide more horses and more king's men, we realize that this assertion is untrue and we laugh at it. The point made by the nursery rhyme is also made in today's liturgy. The ashes that we will soon receive represent our immortality and penance. In other words, they remind us that we are broken people. The words said at their administration emphasize this. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. Dust cannot change itself. This does not take away from the fact of speaking of our wretchedness. And what better word to describe Humpty Dumpty after his fall? The reason we must reflect on this wretchedness is that we so easily deny it. We are Humpty Dumpties who ardently believe that we can glue ourselves back together again, or that we never shattered in the first place. But one moment of honest introspection reveals our brokenness. And nothing we control, nothing we acquire on our own, not even the kingdoms of the world and their glory, has the power to bind us up again, to heal that aching brokenness. Unless someone intervenes, the story ends here on Ash Wednesday. Dust we are, and to dust we will return. Yet we are not content to remain dust. Something precious continues alive inside of us. We long to be whole. We want to set aside our power fantasies and replace them with reality of love. Lent is a time to follow, to act upon this desire. So throughout the 40 days ahead, we may engage in prayer that leaves us open to know God's strong love for us, that love which refuses to let us go. Throughout these 40 days, we may give alms to address human need, not bestowing from a place of privilege, but showing love toward people who, like us, cannot live without love. And throughout this holy season, we may fast, emptying places in our lives so that grace may prevail and God find a home even in us. What is the most important thing we can give up for Lent? It's the belief that we can and should become whole on our own, all by ourselves. When this death to pride occurs, we will find that we have become a very different sort of egg, an Easter egg. That is the promise of the resurrection. Let us pray. Lord, in the season of Lent, let us search our souls and get closer to you. And Lord, let us be the people, the Easter people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you will stay.